often very much in the ghosts and spirits and monsters themselves. It's often said that there are no women in James's stories, and that's very largely true, in the same way that there were no women in his life. And he was, in all probability, but one cannot speculate too much about this, but he was, in all probability, what we would think of today as a closeted gay man. But for him, I don't think he saw himself as having a sexuality at all, which, again, in turn, we would say means that he was a very repressed man. And if he was, the repression comes out in these oblique forms, and very often in the ghosts and monsters themselves. He's preoccupied to the point of obsession with hair, for example. So many of it, he goes out of the way, although his ghosts are not very, very meticulously rendered. He goes out of his way time and again to tell us that they have hair, lank hair, strands of hair on their hands. They are completely covered in hair. There's one story, The Diary of Mr. Poynter, in which the ghost seems entirely to be made of hair. And I think there was something troubling in the kind of physicality of that. For him, I guess the most celebrated example of what you might call sexual terror in James's stories is in Casting the Runes, one of his very greatest stories, in which the antiquarian scholar retires to his chambers at night, hears a noise, and reaches under his pillow, which is where he keeps his matches to light his oil lamp. But instead of the box of matches, in the well-known nook under the pillow, he feels a mouth, a wet, slobbery mouth with hair and teeth around it, which I think is not what a closeted gentleman scholar expects to find under his pillow. And I don't think it requires very much interpretation to see this as a moment of kind of sexual panic and terror. This man alone in his bed in the middle of the night, suddenly faced with this. Well, I mean, it's a classic image of the vagina dentata, I think, isn't it? Of the vagina with teeth. This image of not just of sexual terror, but of, in some way, castrating or unmanning sexual terror. And I think these kinds of images do recur, maybe not quite as startlingly as that, but do recur throughout many of his stories. One of the interesting things about James, though, is that, like many writers of supernatural fiction, he has, and perhaps more than many writers of supernatural fiction, he's developed and always has had a very intense following. He's very widely read. And I think for many people, they're quite comfortable with the idea that these are sexless ghost stories that belong in a comfortable version of the past in which we didn't talk about that sort of thing. And so I think many people find themselves quite disturbed or even affronted by the very suggestion that there might be these elements of anxiety in James's stories. But I think they're there.